sore? It's because you're not 75. All right. Here's my age, you'd be sore after walking me around 40 miles. If I'd have been in your place and you'd have been in mine, I'd have said, hey, Papa, how about letting me just carry you piggyback? Now, I wouldn't have done it. All right, good singing all the way around. It's good to be saved and know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Take your Bible, if you will, to the book of 2 Corinthians. I was gonna, after looking at that picture in the floor, I was going to preach a sermon entitled, Yes, a Boss, I Still Here. But I decided I wouldn't. But I am still here. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if you're able to stand, let's look there in that chapter that's there. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, buddy, that's quite an order right there. Receive us, and we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and to live with you. Great is my boldness of speech towards you, and great is my glorying of you, and I'm filled with comfort, and I'm exceeding joyful in our tribulation. For when we were come to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God hath comforted those that are cast down and comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith that he was comforted in you. Excuse me. Comforted in you whenever he told us your earnest desire and your mourning and your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle, I'm going to tell you what this letter is, he's writing, is the word of the Lord, it's an epistle, have made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that I made you sorry, but that you sorrow to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us and nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance and salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In the rest of the passage there, you'll find out that God tells us the difference between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. Now, Lord, I pray you speak to each and every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Let me say to you, the best way to communicate with anybody is right here in my hands, by the written word of the Lord. Now, there's been people that spoke the word of the Lord in days gone by that didn't, God didn't use to pin it down, but until later on. But you see, what ends up happening is that whenever you look into the word and you see what it says, it'll never change one iota. Sometimes people will change, you know, in what they had to say. Well, I didn't mean this, or I didn't mean that, or I meant it something different, and it's not the way that I had intended for it. Let me say to you boys and girls and all you young men and women, every now and again, somebody's going to come along, and they're going to say, hey, if you want to talk to me, don't write it down. I want you to just come to me like a man. That's intimidation. But it doesn't shake me none, because let me tell you, I know that men lie sometimes to cover up what they messed up with. But if you've got it written down, friend, they're not changing that. The power of the printed page is the greatest power that's on the face of the earth. Why do you think God used men to pen down the word of the Lord? So when you begin to look into this Bible, you'll find is that when we come to the house of God like this, is that though the church at Corinth was a carnal bunch, yet you'll find that they got busy and they had zeal, and they here is some zeal that came from God. And let me say to you that if you will, zeal that comes from God will clear up your heart and your mind in whatever matter that you've entered into. I want to say to you that sometimes we preached here the other day that zeal is not according to the word of the Lord. But let me tell you, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. But let me tell you, zeal that's in accordance to the word of the Lord is always a good thing. in this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that when we come to the house of God, and this is where we're at tonight, you know, we have a covenant back there on the wall. And what that is that anybody joins, and they're looking at that, is there anything? Sometimes I'll have them. Anything in the covenant you can't agree with, because you're saying you're covenanting with this body through the word of the Lord, and all of that's on a Bible basis, and that you're saying that that covenant is not going to be a problem with you in days to come. You're not going to go to want and drink liquor and dance and commit fornication, run around, honky-tonk, and this and that. And if you do, you've broken the covenant, you see. In the day we live in, I want to say to you that there's not many times, but a few times, I've met people that didn't want to be able to record what they had to say because they might want to change it later. I got to tell you, you better watch anybody that's ever like that. Somebody said, well, I don't like to pin down things. You're lying. You go and pin down your name on a loan application at a bank. You'll pin down your name for some kind of insurance that all of this is real. See what I'm talking about? Now, you're going to have to wake up earlier than that if you're going to get a hold of somebody that has a little mind to do a little thinking with. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out the house of God, it's a place of doctrine. This is where we learned about what we ought to believe about salvation, about who God is incarnate in human flesh. It's a place that you and I will be able to realize and know that the doctrine of God cannot be changed. And you'll find out that when you look into this Bible, the house of God shows us what our duty is. And let me say to you that, if you will, that what great duty that we have. Do you realize at all that we ought to be dedicated, and it'll show you dedication, but we ought to be dedicated to the word of the Lord. I guarantee you we ought to be more dedicated to the word of the Lord than we are family or friends or anybody else. You know, the Bible said, come and let us reason together. That doesn't mean that that I want to give you my 15 cents worth and then leave and go and not give you a chance to respond. You see that? That's cowardly, whoever that is. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. That's cowardly to want to give somebody a piece of your mind, but you don't want to hear a piece of their mind in response. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this, you'll find is that at the house of God, do you know that what we're to do, we're to be able to serve God in spirit and in truth, and we're to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness, flesh and spirit, by the way. And when you do that, you're going to find we're in business serving God together. And when God said, let us reason together, it's not a one-way conversation. Now, you know, every time I've ever had anybody, lost anybody in days gone by, and I've lost a few, but let me just tell you right now, it's never a pleasant thing, but sometimes a necessary thing. And whenever you begin to look into it and you begin to realize there's always somebody that's caught betwixt and between this person or that group and this person and that group, why not just go ahead and find out what the word of the Lord is and try to stick with God as bad as it may or may not hurt? But inevitably, somebody's going to come up and say, well, I can tell you, preacher, I'm for you 100%, blah, 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 and I've heard it, and they used to take 15 minutes of my time. And then after they told me what they was or was not going to do, that's the very opposite of what they did. Now, here's the deal. I'm never going to pressure you. Why would you want to just lie to me? I'm not going to pressure you. Hey, if you got to go, goodbye, and we love you. But why do you want to tell me a line of lies and then go ahead contrary to that? Be sure your sin will find you out. In this Bible lesson that's here and all of that, is that somebody said, do you believe that? Yes, the boss, I'm still here. I don't care where you're from, that's a good title if you're in the right camp. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out it talks about faith that saves. Do you know we have a responsibility to man and woman? And he said, I've defrauded nobody. I've corrupted nobody. I've not hurt anybody. And let me tell you right now, is the word of the Lord records the fact that here's what thus saith God, and that we ought to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Now, let me say to you, never get to the place in your life where you're unapproachable. I've seen men that, buddy, were scared to death of their wife. And boy, let me tell you right now, they talk about, you know, the great stamina and the great fear, and They talked about their hardware. You know, I truly don't talk to people afresh. I got news for you, honey. You're never going to have enough hardware to face your mother-in-law or your wife. And she knows exactly where they are. She keeps them in her purse for you. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that many times there's people that are just unapproachable. They're one-sided. And as a result of that, you're going to find out, you women that are here, and boy, I thank God for every one of you good, godly women, I really do. But a real woman's not a raging woman. Did you know that you'll find the Bible said over there in the sight of God, you know what a great price is for a woman? A meek and a quiet spirit. Not some loud mouth running her mouth looking for power. Strutting like a banty rooster while she's a hen. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, in the sight of God, a great price is a meek and quiet spirit in a woman. That doesn't mean you don't have an opinion, can't have an opinion, but you better be careful about where you unleash it and who you're unleashing it to. I like mine. I like it to be able to be on record. That's the reason why I desire. Somebody calls me while there's controversy, here's how I do it. I send a text. In light of all that's going on, you're going to have to send it in writing. You know why? Can't change that. In this Bible lesson, by the way, that I find out, there's a lot of stuff out there. I'm talking about junk goes on. You're not going to believe this, but I call sometime when people are problematic and troublesome. See, the job of the church is that we're to train up boys and girls, men and women, in the love, nurture, admonition of the Lord. But every now and again, you'll find that God wants to move somebody, and that's understandable. And let me tell you, whatever they do, they ought to be in fellowship with the church. They ought to be in fellowship one with another, and they ought to be leaving because that's where God's wanting them to go. But no, that ain't how they do it. They look as nasty and backbite and saying slander, slurring things. And when they leave, they ain't nobody wants them to stay. And let me tell you, you might have to go and be accepted into a church by your statement one or two times in life. But every church you ever been to, you got to go by a statement because you stirred such a ruckus up. That ought not to be that way. There ought to be fellowship in the house of God. And let me tell you right now, when there's not, you didn't just leave that way. There's been a discord in a long time before it ever gets to there. Listen, do you know that the only person that I know that's ever had, and I teased them a lot about skipping out on church, going to find them another one. But do you know the only person that's ever left and left in a right manner? Old brother Jeff and his family. I mean, he stood up, remember that? Now, this will be the last Sunday. We're going to be next Sunday. We're going to be, and let me just tell you right now is that's the right way that you ought to be able, whether you like it, lump it, love it, or leave it, agree with it, or don't agree with it, you ought to be able to leave with good fellowship. And if not, when it comes my time to resign, I don't know if I'm going to move my membership, but who's going to want me to be in their church? But anyhow, I plan to sit in this church here and keep my mouth shut. And when somebody comes up and says, hey, brother, this, I did this or that, what do you think? I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Well, my word, you pastored. Yes, you pastored past tense all these years. I cared then. Now, I can't care about somebody else's business. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out is that we ought to be looking for the mind of God and the will of God. I check some of these people every now and again out that leave disgruntled and try to cause discord. And I check with their pastor, their former pastors. I check with, oh yeah, now you're sitting around, buddy, on the gossip tube and wanting to know. I see you finally showing up. Yes, boss, I still here. It's not a pretty thing that you'll find. No wonder they want to keep stuff hidden. You'd like to know, but I'm not telling you. Now, let me just tell you right now, it ain't good. And make no mistake about it, buddy, God knows there's a lot of filthiness of the spirit filthiness of the flesh that goes on among people that profess to know God. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to be able to find out is that we're talking about faith that'll save you. You know, every now and again, I look at all these boys and girls that are here, and if you're not saved, it ain't because you hadn't heard the gospel many, many times over. And I'm hoping and trusting God will come knocking on your door soon, and that you'll open up by faith, receive Him in the free pardon of sin. That's what we're talking about here tonight. We're talking about faith that'll save your soul from a devil's hell. We're talking about God showing us how to be right in the sight of God and men, that others may see a consistency in our walk that we have with God. This Bible said that if you will, faith that'll save you come from God. Let me tell you something, we've been washed by the blood. Make no mistake about it, it's because of the Bible that we're into the family of God. And it's because of the holy boldness that God has given us to be able to stand up and to be able to shout for Him. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you're going to find out faith that'll save your soul is faith, verse number one, that'll separate you. It'll separate you from the filthiness of the flesh. It'll separate you from the filthiness of the spirit. It'll cause you to be right in the sight of God, and you'll perfect holiness in the fear of God. Now, I begin to think about the Bible said that we're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You can get a lost person in here, and I don't care how many times they've been dunked through the baptistry, they're just never going to get along with the word of the Lord. They'll get along with the part they like, and a part don't bother them, but they're not going to get along with it outside of that. Let me tell you, you ought not to be once named among that kind of thinking. Let me tell you what religion is. You're going to find out is that people are religious and they're content with just doing what little they know, and they have no desire for the improvements of themselves in the work of God. In this Bible lesson we're looking at, let me say to you, is that you'll find is that the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, God will not only separate you from unbelievers, but He'll separate you from unrighteousness. He'll separate you and cause you to be able to be biblical and to delight in the word of the Lord. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out, the Bible said there are those that finally get to where they're worse than an infidel. And you don't want to go backwards, you want to go forward with God. In this lesson here that we're looking at, chapter number 7 and verse number 1, the Bible said, let us cleanse ourselves. That means we've got some responsibility, doesn't it? Let us cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. That means it calls for an examination. That means it calls for an inspection. That means is that when you're coming to the house of God, you're not just sitting down thinking, hey, I wonder how long the preacher's going to be tonight. I wonder if it's going to be 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Listen, the sooner we get done, the better. It's going to be more than that. What you're looking at is that faith that causes you to be searched inside and out, and it'll cause you to look, I'm not going home and carrying this load that I brought down here of filthiness of flesh and spirit. In verse number 2, you're going to find faith that'll save you is faith that'll search you out. The Bible said, receive us there. We've wronged no man. We've corrupted no man. We've defrauded no man. And you know, in this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out that it doesn't matter if you're on the job. It don't matter if you're in the field. It doesn't matter if you're in the religious realm. It doesn't make any difference. Is that there's one of you and there's only one God. And let me tell you what He wants to do is He wants to be able to reign and rule in your heart and in your life and cause you, regardless if anybody else does or not, He wants to cause you to hear Him and to repent toward God and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you can't rise above that. Now in verse number 3 and 4 of the text that we've read tonight, here's what He said. This is faith that'll speak to you. You know what He speaks of? Concern. Hey, are you concerned about the work of God, the people of God, the church of the living God? Certainly you ought to be. And you know, let me tell you something right now is that there ought to be a speech of correction. There ought to be a speech of compassion. There ought to be a speech of comfort. In other words, when you and I have what we ought to have from God, God comforts us in the inner man. That's why in verse number 4 He said, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Let me tell you right now, as a child of God can be great in their speech, in their boldness towards you. Now, you know, just because we've got a meek and a quiet spirit don't mean that we're going to be like, you know, Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, but he wasn't timid. I guarantee you right now, he wasn't timid. And you and I may have the absolute touch of God on our heart and our life and great boldness, but we don't want to just unleash that for the sake of unleashing it to toot our own horn. We want to be able to exalt and magnify the name of the Lord together. You know, here's what throughout the years that I've realized and know, somebody always big macho that's always going to be the big man or the big woman. And on the scene, they want control many times. And let me say to you that, if you will, there's dangers without and there's dangers within. You know, I'm not going to depend upon one person here. I'm not going to. Is that because if I did that, the very time that I got to depend upon you, you'd be gone somewhere. And I'd have to face that big devil alone. And I've had to do that more than one occasion. You know, we had a man one time walking in with a backpack, didn't know what was in it. I knew his brain was empty, but I didn't know what was in the backpack. And here was a guy, you know, that every time after every sermon, he wanted to pick some kind of an argument. And the big macho people that were going to stand up for me, I guarantee you right now is that they were gone. I didn't worry about it one iota. Because I knew, I didn't think that this guy, and I had about three other men, Brother Philip, he was one of them, standing there listening to the whole story. See? And some of you others that were standing there listening to the whole, I knew I was in good hands with God. I said, I don't believe this man can whip the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and me, and Brother Philip at the same time. And I mean, if he could have, by the time he got that far along, I'd be looking for somebody else to come in. I'd get some of you ladies to help in on that. I'd say, forget that meek and quiet spirit for a minute, and let's beat the devil out of this man that's here. I got to say to you that, if you will, that it's good to be saved to know the Lord. And whenever he said in verse 4, great is the boldness of speech toward you. I mean, tell you what he was doing is he's trying to clean house and get things straightened up and their car in. And he didn't want them to think, I'm not just running my mouth to be running it. I'm not just trying to blast you for the sake of blasting. Here's what I'm trying to do. Is that I'm trying to let you know that as I am in letter, I will be in speech whenever I'm talking to you. And faith stands up in the face of trouble on every side and every direction. And in verse number 5, that's what he's talking about. Our flesh had no rest, and the Bible said we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that you're going to find out is that fighting the flesh, the world, and the devil will finally wear you down. It just will. All right, in closing tonight, in verse 6 and 7 that we've read tonight, faith is a soothing thing. You know what it does? God sends somebody our way, like Titus. He'll have like faith. He'll go through like trials. He's one that has like temptation, but he ends up with a good report. Now, you're not going to keep the devil from tempting you and coming around every corner. And just about the time you think you've got it worked out, here he comes again with some of his demonic cohorts. I'm glad to be able to say unto you that, if you will, that God, by grace through faith, has given us the shield that we might be able to withstand the fiery darts of the devil when he shows up. Let me say to you in closing, then verse number 10 and 11 that we didn't read, but verse number 10 and 11, faith is a settled thing. I don't know about this, but he says, have you approved yourself to be clear in this matter? Two kinds of sorrow. One of them is a godly sorrow. You know what that is? I'm sorry that I've sinned against God, whether anybody knows it or not. Worldly sorrow is sorry that you got caught. That's it. Godly sorrow, buddy, will cause you to walk with God and please God and be more careful down the road. Worldly sorrow, you're going to find out in the day and hour that we're living in. Here's an example, if you will. Remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter went out and wept bitterly, died and went to heaven because he had denied the Lord, even though the Lord told him he was going to. He had godly sorrow on the inside of him. Judas Iscariot, on the other side, he was a man that was a betrayer. He looked for a convenient day to betray the Lord. And then after he done so, he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Then he got to feeling bad about it, and he went and tried to return the silver, and they wouldn't take it back, and he went out and hung himself. He was only suffering from worldly sorrow, sorry that he got caught in the deal. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, I'm glad that I'm a part of the family of God. And let me tell you right now, you ought to be as well that are saved. And make no mistake about it, is that one of these days you're going to come up face to face with the hard-nosed devil. And make no mistake about it, you'd better not be dependent upon yourself. You'd better be dependent upon the Lord and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for the goodness of God. We ask your blessings now upon these requests that have been mentioned. And Lord, these times of services that we've enjoyed together. Now bless, I pray thee, the word, and go with us to our homes. Bring us back safely. Save the lost. Lift up the downhearted. Set the captives free in Jesus' name.